and Loris did not intend that the situation be allowed to fester. She strode into the barn at full daylight to find that somebody had forked the morning's ration of hay into each stall, but otherwise the lads were lounging about, enjoying an absence of supervision. The stalls had not been mucked, the water buckets had not been scrubbed or refilled. A lead rope was coiled in the dirt, where any unsuspecting horse could tangle a hoof in it and come to grief. The riding horses at pasture overnight had not been brought in. Loris planted herself in the centre of the aisle between the main doors and the group of idle men, and tugged off her straw hat. "Good morning, gentlemen." Only the largest, referred to as Wee Nick, nodded before resuming his solitary effort to rake the barn aisle.
"Until Baron Sutcliffe finds a replacement for Mr. Chesterton," Loris said, "I will direct your activities. I expect the stalls to be mucked and rebedded with fresh straw, the water buckets scrubbed and refilled, the riding horses brought in, and the harnesses, saddles and bridles cleaned, if you please. Should you ask it of me, I will make specific assignments. Otherwise, I'll assume you can sort out who does what among yourselves. Any questions?"
A taut silence followed, during which Wee Nick quietly departed in the direction of the pastures. Loris slapped her straw hat back onto her head and turned to leave.
"I've a question," one fellow called out.
Anderson was the natural successor to Chesterton in terms of the stable hierarchy. Lazy, mean, and insolent.
"If we don't opt your commands, Miss Tanner, how will you make us without Chesterton's bullwhip?"
Loris nearly thanked Anderson, because a direct public confrontation would settle matters most efficiently, and she had the perfect—
"Perhaps," a deep voice drawled, "I'll equip my steward with a whip."
Sutcliffe strolled up the barn aisle, attired in snug breeches, spotless linen, gleaming boots, a silk waistcoat the same deep blue as his eyes, and a black riding jacket. The man had no business looking so well put together. He probably even smelled good, of flowers and spices and— A memory tickled the back of Loris's mind, while his baronial handsomeness paused at the half-door to his gelding stall.
"Dear me," his lordship murmured. "No one has tended to Rupert's housekeeping. How puzzling. The women responsible for the manor don't need a bullwhip to inspire them to do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. My quarters were spotless."
A telling point easily made.
"Miss Tanner," the Baron called, scratching at Rupert's withers with every appearance of casual affection.
"My lord?"
Loris didn't move, though she abruptly felt compelled to stand closer to his side.
"How many men should it take to keep this stable up to appropriate standards?"
5 or 6, if they're hard workers, and we don't have any difficulties with lameness or illness."
The Baron went on scratching his horse, to the gelding's obvious delight.
"Miss Tanner, you must advise me as to which of these men are expendable. I cannot abide inefficiency. Perhaps we might discuss this while you ride out with me this morning, assuming you're free to join me."
Such manners. While Sutcliffe wielded his authority more tellingly than Chesterton had ever cracked a bullwhip.
"If you wish, my lord."
"My thanks."
The Baron swept the silent group with a glance that conveyed amused disdain.
"In addition to your other duties, gentlemen, will you please saddle Rupert for Miss Tanner and a second horse for myself? Have the horses in the stable yard in 20 minutes, for I'd spare myself and Miss Tanner the worst of the day's heat as we make our initial inspection of the land. Miss Tanner?"
The Baron offered Loris his arm, and with the stable boys gawping at that spectacle, Loris took it. She and his lordship perambulated in silence into the stable yard, as if no one were glaring daggers at their backs. The Baron escorted Loris some distance along the front paddock to a bench in the shade of a spreading oak.
"That was completely unnecessary, my lord."
"Do not drop my arm," he replied as they sauntered along, "nor by any gesture or expression shall you imply we are in less than complete charity with each other."
"We are not in complete charity with each other, sir. You have destroyed any prayer I had of holding authority over that group of scoundrels."
"I have established your authority," the Baron corrected her pleasantly, "which is more than you could have done on your own."
And yet somehow Loris had managed Lyndon on her own for nearly 2 years.
"You shamed them," she hissed, "comparing them to the housemaids. They'll hate me the worse for